Hey everybody, it's Richie, and before we start the program today on the Hockey Podcast Network, we of course want to tell you about DraftKings, DraftKings.com, and the DraftKings app. Coming up on Saturday, UFC 261, Kamaru Usman and Jorge Masvidal back in action in a rematch of their epic fight from the last time around, and you can play DraftKings and win a bunch of money. Also on that card, we have a women's strawweight fight. We have Valentina Shevchenko back in action, the former champion. And you can play along, make your lineup full of six fighters, standard salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test. Download the DraftKings app right now. Use the promo code THPN to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code THPN to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings.
I'm Corey Crenshaw.
I'm Richie Suave Flores.
And this is Sporty with Corey and Richie Suave.
On the Hockey Podcast Network.
Welcome back in Sporty Nation. Your Arizona Coyotes pooled all their money together, bought 40 lottery tickets, and only one of them won any money, and it wasn't the big money. It was, sadly, only like $10. You know, the ones where you spend all this time and effort to try and to win the big thing, and you weren't able to, and then the people who really didn't spend as much time and money and effort into it, you know, just the 23 shots on goal. Yeah, well, they won it all. They didn't just have one winning ticket. They had four. So to talk about all of that, plus everything else that is the Coyotes, is always me and my wonderful.
Did you forget my name for a second, Corey?
No. I was just about to introduce you as if you were the only person on this podcast. Like, to introduce this, to talk about this is just you. I don't know why I was about to do that. Like, just literally pass it off to talk about this is Richie. I'm just, peace out, y'all. I almost forgot to include myself. So I was like, to talk about this with me is what I meant to say. But I totally
always do the same intro to welcome me into the show, and you just didn't do it this time. So I thought like you were having
I fell asleep in the middle of the second period, woke up and it was third period. This is my night tonight. I'm losing it a little bit.
I don't blame you at all. So it's totally okay. And you usually ask me how I'm doing, which leads me to a quick little rant for a second. So can I just talk about for a second How much it sucks being in my 30s now? Let me explain why. So, when you get older, obviously your body isn't quite the temple it used to be. So, yesterday, on Tuesday, I was like, all right, well, I'm off today. I haven't had a chance to work out in a while because I've been so busy. I'm actually gonna go work out, and so I go and I put on my shorts and a t-shirt to get ready to go downstairs to our gym to go get in a workout. And like, I bent down to pick something up and then I just utter pain in like my lower back area. And I was like, oh, that's not good. And for the rest of the day, I could not bend down at all. I couldn't every time I stood up, I felt like I was being like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like, I usually have a high pain tolerance, right? But like, this was some just shitty ass fucking pain. Like, it's usually not that bad. This will happen from time to time. We'll all get pain in that same area of my back. But this was like on a different level where like, I would just be walking and it would still hurt. So I went to sleep last night and I was like, all right, well, I'm going to hopefully try and sleep this off, and hopefully it doesn't hurt while I'm trying to sleep. And it still hurt, but I was still able to sleep. And I was like, all right, well, if it still hurts in the morning, I might actually have to call into work. It was hurting so bad. And I woke up this morning, I was like, fuck, this my back still hurts. Hopefully I can make it through a full 7-hour day at Sprouts. And then I get to work and I'm standing the entire day, right? Pretty much as a cashier at Sprouts. And by the grace of whatever miracle worker exists, I managed to make it through an entire 7-hour day with like little to no pain. And I don't know what happened. I don't know what I did to like make it go away, but I'm very excited that I didn't have to fucking deal with any more back pain today. So, moral of the story is, don't get old, everybody. It sucks.
I think the moral of the story is to avoid your household at all costs. I mean, I got a nice picture of a boot today and some x-rays from Kat's fractured foot. You know, her foot is straight up missing some bone. And then you're over here hurting your back. I'm going to need to just, you know, get... What do old people need? Get you guys some walkers. Some... one of those beds that you can just lay in and it, like, sits you upright.
It certainly feels like it. Because that's pretty much what's happening. It's like Kat and I are just, like, breaking down after we hit the age of 30. And that's... I feel like that's par for the course.
I need you guys to hang in there. Like, just hang in there a little bit longer. You know, at least get through my wedding without completely falling apart.
I think we can make that happen.
I hope so. Good Lord. One pandemic and you two just start... body parts are just... falling apart.
I don't know. It's anyway, I'm sure like I'm not the only one that it has this happen to them where they just have like back pain like that. But yeah, I just needed to get that off my chest. So thank you for letting me rant there for a minute.
You'll have to, as you know, the crazy person that Scotty and I both are, we got one of those Theraguns.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. You'll have to come and try the Theragun. They're not cheap, so I don't recommend you going and buying one, but they work very well.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds like a deal.
Yeah, that'll help your back out. I have been sleeping horribly. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact of my allergies are just horrible. I'm allergic to mesquite trees. Mesquite trees, and if you didn't know, are all over fucking Arizona. So I have a really hard time with them. And so I have my allergies have been horrible. My dad also got injured. God, everyone's getting injured around here. And so I've been having to help like water his. And it's every time I have these like horrible sinus and asthma reactions to them. And so I'm thinking that that's the reason why I haven't been sleeping very well. And so I haven't been recovering from any of my workouts. So I've been like glued to that Theragun trying to recover. So if it can help me through all of that, I'm sure it'll help your back issue of as long as you didn't like full on pull it, because otherwise you're just going to have to live through that.
No. Yeah. I don't think I did anything that bad, but I'll give it a try next time I come over, whenever the heck that is, I'll give it a try.
Well, whenever we have time, this is that's part of being an adult. I swear to God, is like you're like, whenever I find time. Now I'm kind of like, this is why everyone during the like pandemic was first a little bit relaxed, because they're like, you know, I finally get time to like catch up on things I haven't been able to catch up on for a long time. And then that's why everyone started losing their minds, because on a regular basis, we are all moving at such like a quick speed all the time. To slow down that much was like a lot for people.
Yeah, I think that might have been the case. But anyway, we have some coyotes to talk about there after we spent the last 10 minutes complaining about broken bones and being old. Speaking of being old and broken bones, kind of, the big news for the coyotes is that it's looking like Connor Garland might miss the rest of the season because, according to Craig Morgan, Connor Garland suffered a knee injury in Tuesday's practice at Heather River Arena when he hit a hole or rut in the ice. He obviously missed Wednesday's game, and there is some internal concern that he will miss some significant time. Garland had an MRI on Tuesday night, and the Coyotes were expected to have a better sense of the timeline sometime on Wednesday, which we haven't quite heard as of yet. You'll remember last year, Connor Garland missed the tail end of the regular season, I guess you could say, with an injury. He later came back in time for the bubble. But this is a big blow to the Coyotes' playoff chances that were already slim to none to begin with. But the road just got pretty much non-existent now at this point with Connor Garland being out of the lineup.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. He's tied for second on the team with 32 points, 10 goals in 45 games. And but he went through like a little bit of an issue scoring since the NHL trade rumors and so forth. So, but it's funny because watching a game like the game tonight, I was kind of feeling like that's the energy this team was missing. You know, it's nice to score a goal early and to be able to hang into this game. Like I said, they had 40 shots on goal tonight. It's not like they weren't shooting the puck. It just, they weren't scoring, which is kind of a thing that the Coyotes do on a regular basis. And they tend to get really nervous and frustrated. They just start gripping harder and getting really hesitant on their shots. And that is definitely what you ended up seeing towards that third period, per se. And that's always going to be a lose-lose situation for the Coyotes because they have a hard time getting quality shots. So as anything, you know, flinging anything at the net is better than nothing. But it's just, you have to think if Connor Garland was there to be able to run some interference in this and to really kind of break up that energy, which is kind of what he's been really good at this season, if that would have made a big difference in this game. I feel like it wouldn't have been the thing that changed the entire game, but I think it would have helped for sure.
I think it probably could have helped the Coyotes for sure. It would have changed the outcome. I doubt it. Like, that was one of the best performances we've seen from the Coyotes all season long in terms of sustaining pressure all game long. They had a season high in shots without Connor Garland at 40, and they couldn't score. Would Connor Garland have changed things? Maybe, but I don't really think so, right? I mean, they've had worse performances before in terms of shots on goal or better performances with Connor Garland in the lineup and worse and whatnot. But just overall, it's just a blow to a team that can't afford any more blows. They've already dealt with so many freaking injuries this year. And obviously with Antti Raanta and Darcy Kuemper being hurt for so much of the season. And this is like the death blow here to this team at this point. And, and it's like a bigger picture thing. Like, would they have won? I don't really think so. I don't think it would have made much of a difference. But the big point to me is that, well, what is his health going to be like as he recovers from this injury, right? And is he going to be able to come back full strength next season as he is expected to kind of get a big payday moving into his next contract? So that's my biggest concern is what is his health like for the long term? Because now he's had knee injuries in back-to-back seasons. And well, go ahead.
And also, do we know which knee that he injured? Is it that same left knee?
I don't think we've been told, correct?
It just says that he has a knee injury.
Not in the story, no.
So that's also going to be interesting, is to see if it is that same knee Because if it is that same knee, he may have sustained more of a long-term injury from it. Like there could be more long-term effects from it than if he was to have done it, you know, just on his other knee, then it's a more fresh knee. So that might be able to help, but you know, literally back to back like that is not good for that same knee whatsoever. And I can share in his pain of, you know, divots in the ice causing you a lot of pain. That's how I really screwed up my right ankle, was trying to ice skate and a kid had dug a hole in the ice. And so the way that he fell on, the way that he tweaked it, is not going to be normal at all. It's not going to be a normal injury by any means. But it's going to be interesting to find out whether it is that same knee or not, because that could have a lot more implications for the future than, say, just the right one.
And the Coyotes, unfortunately, have some history with a player recovering from two consecutive knee injuries and knee surgeries. And that's the freak of nature that is Jacob Chychrun. And he's thriving at the NHL level after not one but two surgeries on his knees. And he's doing just fine. So at least the Coyotes have a positive outlook when it comes to, you know, their history with knee surgeries, when it comes to Jacob Chychrun at least. But yeah, it's just in a season that has been very, very frustrating, and in a season that that we knew was going to be a season of change for this Coyotes team in terms of trying to figure out who they are and what they want to be for the next three or four seasons, with a new GM and a head coach who is on an expiring contract, and so many players on expiring contracts, and younger players looking for contracts, and players who have big contracts but aren't performing. It's just another kind of, I don't know, what do you want to call it? Like a cog in the wheel of the season. No, that's not the right freaking analogy, but you get the point. Here we go again. This is par for the course for the Coyotes.
Yeah, it's something close here. Maybe it's another like nail in their tire. You know, at one point the entire thing's gonna deflate. And this team, we've slowly been seeing them try and patch all those holes and hold themselves together. But I do see them kind of deflating. It was really nice to see them actually compete well against Minnesota, and the fact that they really held their own in this game. And I had said in our last podcast that I believe that the Coyotes do have the ability to play against Minnesota well. I don't think it's outside of their range if they are to play a solid game that they know they're capable of and we all know they're capable of. But it's to get that quality out of them is very rare. And then to get that quality out of them tonight, and then you see that they don't end up scoring. It's so difficult because this team has so many aspects of it that are capable, but they are super frustrating because they can't put all of those pieces together all in one night. There's always something that's just a little bit off. They're a little bit frustrated. The mood's not particularly right. So even when they're playing a solid game, it doesn't always come together. Whether, you know, they have goaltending's a little rough that night. That was not the problem tonight, but that's been the problem in the past. You know, it's nice to have Darcy Kuemper back and have that consistency. But it's just, they seem to always be lacking one key ingredient in order for this team to succeed. And I just don't see them being able to put it all together because they've tried really hard and nothing seems to work.
Yeah, I feel like games like tonight, and there was a couple of games on that road trip too where you play really, really well, right? And then obviously that St. Louis game that they ended up winning where, you know, they're playing really well, but they can't get anything out of it. And I feel like that's like a kind of Pickett's last charge type mentality where it's like, screw it, we're gonna just go all in, try to throw everything at a wall, see what sticks, and if it doesn't, then we're screwed and we're pretty much out of this thing. And I feel like that's kind of what tonight was. I was like, It was their last stand tonight against the Minnesota Wild to keep themselves in this playoff race, and they failed. Like, I even tweeted out for my account after the game was over. I called it embarrassing. Like, I don't know if you would agree with me on that. Granted, there's been other games where they got beat 9-3 by Minnesota and they got embarrassed on the scoreboard, but I feel like almost a game like Wednesday night against Minnesota was in a way more embarrassing, because it's like, you put up 40 shots, your best offensive output of the season in terms of shots on goal, and you only get one goal out of it against Cam Talbot, who is good but not great. You know, it's just, I'd be embarrassed if I were the Coyotes if they couldn't figure their shit out enough to get one puck past him, because that's all they needed. You get one more goal in that first period that you dominated, and you take a 2-0 lead, that game's over, in my opinion, right? But they couldn't do it, and it's like, man, and I don't, you'd be like, oh, bad luck. No, it's not bad luck. You create your own luck, right? And a perfect example of that is, like, how do they win against St. Louis? They won against St. Louis because Michael Bunting got his ass in front of the net with a beautiful deflection, and they weren't doing that tonight, right? They were getting some good chances, but I feel like they weren't getting a lot of good second chances, if that makes any sense. To steal a term from, like, basketball, right? Where they were getting some good first chances, their power play movement was really good for the most part tonight, but they just weren't able to create those second chances and those third chances and really put Cam Talbot to the test and basically piss him off and make Minnesota make a mistake. And Minnesota did a good job of not making many mistakes tonight, whereas the Coyotes, when they did make their mistakes, it was in the back of the net and game's over.
I'm not sure I would necessarily call it embarrassing as much as I would say it's more disappointing and it's more frustrating. You could see the look of actual frustration on Tockett's face basically throughout the latter half of the game, and especially towards the very end, and then in his post-press conference. He was vividly frustrated and just upset. And I don't blame him. It feels to me like it's come to the point of the end of a relationship where you're like, you know what, this is not going to work out. We all know this isn't going to work out, and we all just need to go our separate ways. And it's funny because when I went on Blue Notes, they were laughing at me because they're like, you guys are a possible playoff team, and you're saying that you would only keep, you know, a handful of players on this team that you would really want to make sure that you still had. And I go, yeah. And they were honestly kind of shocked by that. And I'm like, this isn't working. It's not working for anyone. You don't win medals. You don't win trophies. You don't win rings. You don't win anything by being mediocre. When you're mediocre, you get by and you don't really get noticed. You don't win anything by being mediocre. And that's, I think, my biggest takeaway from this is this team is just mediocre all the time and they can't find that second notch. And it's because they don't have it. I'm determined at this point that they just don't have it. And there needs to be changes made in order for them to have it. And yes, there is only a handful of players that I would say needs to stay on this team. Outside of that, do whatever magic needs to be done to be able to either make some of these players in positions to make them better players, or just get rid of them, because there is no point in them staying here and having their careers also be stagnant. And I'm also calling out Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who I didn't particularly like his positioning when he was trying to help out Kemper on that goal. He is one of the people I'm calling out on this. He went from being mediocre last season to being not very good this season. And I just keep on feeling like he's one of those people that has hit a very stagnant place, and it's time for him to move on for his own career as well.
I tend to agree with you on that. That's something that we talked about when the Oliver Ekman-Larsson trade rumors were going on too, where it's like sometimes it's just time for players to move on from certain situations and kind of get a new career elsewhere. And I feel like that time has come for Oliver Ekman-Larsson. I wonder if come this offseason, when he kind of realizes that this team is going to be back in a rebuilding mode, and this team is going to be looking a lot different, and this team is likely going to have a new head coach come next season, moving into a new division, obviously, that Oliver Ekman-Larsson kind of reanalyzes his career and he says, okay, I'm going to expand my trade list, and I'm going to try and go to a team that, you know, I don't need to be the captain for. I can come in and not be expected to be the guy, you know, and wherever that may be. His last trade list just included Boston and Vancouver. And I hope he expands that trade list in this offseason, because I don't know if Boston or Vancouver would be interested in bringing in Oliver Ekman-Larsson again this offseason. But it truly is going to be an offseason that is going to be utterly fascinating. I feel like we don't say that very often about the Coyotes in the offseason over the last couple seasons, but this is going to be the biggest offseason the Coyotes have had in a long time, because things are going to be so drastically different under the Bill Armstrong banner now, as he goes into his first full offseason as GM.
That is the head I would like to be diving into the most right now. I would really want to know where he's at with this. Obviously, this team is going to be in a rebuild, but he may be able to take that rebuild in a way of a retool of thinking, you know, specifically kind of by lines, thinking of who he can kind of make the heart of certain lines and being able to build around that person. If he's just going to start like tearing everything apart and building it back up the way he wants to. His big thing has always been, you know, through having really good scouts of being able to build a team from the bottom up. So it'll be interesting if he also decides to just sacrifice essentially a bunch of pawns in order to try and, you know, build this team back up from the ground up. That would take a lot more time. I'm not for sure on that bandwagon, because of the fact that, you know, we just went through a pandemic. This team can't really afford, and I mean that like in a money sense, can't afford to have, you know, another 5 years of a rebuild that we're waiting for this team to be good again. They need to at least be an average team still going forward. So I would love to be able to get inside of his head and see where he's going with this and really know like where he wants to take it, because I felt like it was a very bold move for him to say, you know, where they've earned the right to go into playoffs and, you know, as a team and as they are now, which was, it was funny. The same thing happened on Blue Notes again, that we were talking about how both GMs were saying the same thing on each of their teams. And so, you know, obviously there's a similar mentality there because he came from the Blues, but it's really interesting to see what his tactic is going to be and where his mind is at with this team, because there's a lot of, believe it or not, there's a lot of different ways he can take this. And I just hope however he takes it really kind of gives this team a quicker rebound than anyone would expect.
I mean, we've seen it done before where teams are able to get it turned around super quickly. And the best example of that is the Avalanche, where they were the worst team in the league, you know, what, 2015, 2016, I believe, or 16, 17. They get a high draft pick. They take Cale Makar, and Cale Makar wins the Calder Trophy, obviously. And now he's one of the key pieces in a team that is your one or two biggest favorite to win the Stanley Cup this year. And what's the biggest difference between that Avs team and the Coyotes now? Draft picks. Because the Avalanche hit on every single one of those draft picks. Did they not? They hit on MacKinnon. They hit on Landeskog. They hit on Cale Makar. And then once they hit there, that opened up the ability to bring in everybody else around them, right? You bring in your – you trade for Nazem Kadri, right? You bring in – even this year, you bring in a guy like Jonas Donskoy to that lineup, and you get even deeper there, you know? And so the blueprint is there. But the problem is the Coyotes don't have the draft picks to rebuild that quickly until the 2022 draft. Is the next time they'll have a first-round draft pick. So that's the unfortunate news for the Coyotes, that they're going to have to hope that some of these younger players that they have drafted under a previous regime, like your Victor Soderstroms and your Barrett Haytons and your Jan Janiks and those type of players, end up fulfilling their kind of ability, basically. But go ahead.
You also have to wonder, too, when it comes to all of these picks that people would be having right now anyways, how well that they'll be able to evaluate all of them this time around. No one's really ever gone into a situation where over, you know, the past two seasons, you've had issues with coronavirus. And so you have kids that are draft eligible, but you really haven't been able to see them during these highlight parts of, you know, their career leading up to their eligibility. So you have some gaps in scouting there, and that should be really interesting to see how that gets handled as well.
Yep. And we wanted to keep it kind of quick tonight, so we'll move on to other stuff. But again, it's just like we're a broken record talking about this team again, man. Just, it's just so freaking frustrating. I just want the season to be over at this point, and so we can get to the offseason like we just talked about, because it's going to be a lot more exciting than the last 15 games of this Coyote season was. We'll get to the sporty question in a second to wrap up the show, but quick, I have a pop quiz for you, Corey. Are you ready?
Oh, God, I hope so.
I just saw this tweet, and I was like, it's one of those, like, no-shit tweets. So I was like, okay, that was easy, but I'm going to ask you, too, because I feel like you know the answer. Be honest, without looking it up, can you remember the name of Tom Cruise's character in the Mission Impossible movies?
Ethan Hunt.
Yep, there you go. Thank you. I don't know, like, so who is this guy that tweeted this out? He's a...
I was going through all of them in my head. I was like, what are you... I was like, are you going with Top Gun? Are you going with... I was going through all of them in my head, and that one, like, was the easiest one for me to get, so I appreciate it.
I'm glad both of us knew that off the top of their heads. I don't know why somebody tweeted that out. I just saw it. I was like, okay, I know Corey knows this, but I'm going to ask anyway. So there you go. That's your Mission Impossible talk, everybody, for this show. And we put out our sporty question today, which is, where is the first place you are going on vacation post-COVID?
So this is kind of funny for me, because we had just put out a joke on our Twitter after you had sent me an article about how there was a podcast catfish situation with the Lakers. For those of you that haven't heard, just search like Lakers catfish. It's just kind of funny. I am definitely not a catfish. I am a live human being. Richie has seen me many, many times. We knew each other before we started this podcast. So, believe me, I'm a real girl. But I had said in there that I actually try and avoid anything that has to do with catfish because of Nashville. But actually, because of my friend's wedding in like a month or so, I am going to be going to Nashville, because she lives in Arkansas. So I was like, I might as well take the drive to Nashville. So that will be my, my first post-COVID vacation.
I love Nashville.
I've never been there before.
I was there for the 2019 NFL draft, and it was a really cool place to be. Like, if you go down Broadway, which is where all the bars are and everything, like, just insane. Like, granted, this was the NFL draft, so there were like a million fucking people there on Broadway, and it was really hard to move around. But like, I would love to go back to Nashville at some point without the NFL draft and just go bar hopping, because like, it was incredible, the NFL draft there. It was so freaking cool. So I'm excited that you get to experience that. And I'm a little jealous that that's where you're going. Because my pick is, unless something changes in between, which it could be, and just go somewhere else on a whim. But right now, my first place I'm likely to go post-COVID is to Vegas for a music festival coming up in September. So that will be my first big extravaganza post-COVID. And I'm very excited about this. Green Day, Haim, Megan Thee Stallion performing, and Billie Eilish is one of the headliners too. So I'm a big, like, I'm so excited to go. We've talked about it before. Like, I'm more excited to go to concerts than I am sporting events post-COVID. And so that will be my first big, like, thing to do after COVID is over, I guess, even though it's not really over, but you get the point. You get the spirit of the question, at least.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I had actually kind of thought about that myself. I'm like, technically it's not like over, but it's like safe to travel. Mm-hmm. So I got where you're going with that. But yeah, no, I'm kind of jealous of you being able to go to this festival. I would really love to go to this festival if I wasn't spending a bunch of money to be in Arkansas and Nashville. And, you know, weddings are expensive, so I'm trying to save where I can. But I'm really jealous because there is a certain day in particular that I would like to go to. And honestly, I probably would have gone if my cousin still lived there and I could have just slept at her place. Because, you know, I would have just paid for the one-day ticket, but...
Sure, there's still the tickets are still up for sale. Like, there's like a ticket exchange, so it's never too late. You can always change your mind.
Go, finally get to live my all-time low that Kat and I got robbed of the beginning of COVID.
Mm-hmm, yep, I get to see, that's right, I get to see all-time low without you guys, which is going to be weird.
You'll have to like FaceTime us. Kat and I will just be hanging out in your apartment.
Yeah. that's a good idea, actually. I might just take you up on that offer. So that's coming up in September. But if you want to reply to our tweet, you can at @Corey_RichieShow on Twitter. You can reply and join on the sporty question for this episode.
So, what did we get? I think Courtney said Disneyland.
We had one person... So we had somebody reply Disneyland, yes. Yes, Chris.
So that's a good one. I think a lot of people, like, I didn't realize so many people were big, like, you know, they go to Disneyland, like, multiple times a year. They buy one of those passes and they go all the time. And I'm sure those people are completely jonesing to get back to Disneyland.
Jordan was telling me that they've built like a new Avengers exhibit at like California Adventure, which is opening up like later a couple months, like in May or June.
Well, that's cool.
But it's only open to like California residents at this place or at the moment in time. But it looks really cool. Like they have like, they recreate like the Sanctum Sanctorum from Doctor Strange and like Avengers HQ. Looks super cool.
Well, then maybe California Adventures is where you need to go eventually, once it's not just California residents.
I agree, yeah. Avengers Campus is opening on June 4th.
June 4th. I've been meaning to be able to go check out all the Star Wars stuff.
Yes, so maybe me too.
My parents, actually, like... So, I don't know why my parents decided, like, they couldn't, can't remember exactly what it was. They couldn't do something else, so they decided to go to Disneyland. and they went and did all of the Star Wars stuff, and they just sent me like pictures and videos of them being there. Like, I'm not kidding you. And so after all of this, my mom has now retired. I swear to God, it is like they are going on doing all this like fun stuff, and I'm like being left out. Like, even like going to like my favorite like restaurants for lunch, and then like taking pictures there like while I'm working and stuff. I'm just like, excuse you.
That's
basically, so that's what it becomes. When you're a kid and you get to go do all the fun stuff, and then your parents have to be working, once you become an adult, your parents then become the kids and they go off and do the fun stuff. But yeah, they were doing that sometime before COVID hit, not too long before COVID hit. And got to do the whole Millennium Falcon ride and everything. So I've been really wanting to go. So maybe we need to make that a priority at some point.
That would be fun. It'd be good content for the pod.
It would be good content for the pod. That is true. We have to do it for the pod.
Especially since I think our time going to San Diego Comic-Con has come to an end for the time being. Going to the Star Wars Disneyland Extravaganza is a good replacement.
Absolutely.
But you are not a roller coaster person, right?
No, I love roller coasters. Okay. Scotty hates them.
Okay, that's right.
I adore them. I will ride roller coasters.
How do they not know that? I'm sorry.
I will ride roller coasters like forever and always. And part of it though is like I'm that type of person. Like, I raced motocross when I was a kid, so like me going fast and on something is not freak me out. I'm not also a freaked out person with heights. My mom hates heights. Probably one of the worst things I ever convinced her to go on was a roller coaster at Six Flags, and I'm not kidding you, it lays you flat where you are basically held in and you're like facing the ground. The beginning of it goes just, you know, like on an incline up, and it goes very, very slowly. So you're just staring down at people walking by. I'm waving. My brother's like, so what? People can just spit from up here and like hit people walking by? And I was like, yes, apparently. And my mom is like, her eyes are closed. She's like about to cry. Like, she hated every single minute of that. But to me, it was like you're just like free dangling above everyone. And so I'm one of those weird people. I enjoy that. Not everyone likes that.
Yeah, I'm a big roller coaster guy too, but I haven't been on many of them because I'm not a big traveler in the first place. I don't really go a lot of places. So I haven't really hit up a lot of theme parks like I should. But so like I haven't gone on a lot of roller coasters in my life. But I've been to Universal Studios a lot, and they have a couple, like they have the Jurassic Park ride, which is super dope. And some others too. But yeah, on the bucket list for sure to go to the Star Wars Extravaganza, whatever it's called.
Have you ever done Space Mountain?
No.
Oh, you have to do Space Mountain. Space Mountain's so much fun.
I've never been to Disneyland, so I don't, yeah, never done it.
I didn't realize you've never been to Disneyland.
Uh-uh.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we've got to take you to Disneyland. I've even been to Disneyland for dance in high school, where I got to find out that in their like Toonland area, there's a gate back there, and there's an entire like dance studio and like behind everything in Disneyland where they prepare for all their shows and all that stuff. I got to like sneak back there. So I gotta show you around Disneyland sometime.
That's a deal. That's 100% a deal. I don't know why. I don't think we went. I think we never went to Disneyland when I was younger because it was fucking expensive to take five people to go to Disneyland between my parents and my two sisters. I was like, well,
absolutely,
that's out of the question. So I think that's why I haven't been. And like, and then obviously once I got older, I was like, all right, well, I feel like going to Disneyland as an adult isn't quite as cool as going as when you're young. But now that they've added the Star Wars thing, they're getting the Avengers thing, and they have a bunch of like thrill rides at California Adventure now, I feel like I'd have more fun than
you missed out on Tower of Terror.
Yep, this is true.
Oh, That one's the best one. It makes you feel like you're about to throw up because it just drops. But if you are on it enough times, I went, my mom took me and my best friend for my 16th birthday. If you've been on it enough times, you know when they're taking the picture, so you can time all the pictures. Mm-hmm. I'll have to send you the picture. But we even got my mom in on it where we were like full-blown timing all of the pictures when we were on it. So I have a lot of very fun pictures on that because we went on it that many times.
That's funny. Yeah. I feel like I'd enjoy it because I feel like the Jurassic Park thing is kind of similar to that where it's just like you just go straight down. And it's like, oh, okay. Cool, this is dope.
And Indiana Jones, oh my gosh, there's so many things that you've missed out on, Richie.
I know. All right, I think it's time to wrap up the show here, Corey. Do you have any final words before we say goodnight?
I have nothing other than we are all crossing our fingers and really hoping that Connor Garland gets out of this very quickly because he is in my small handful of players that I would like the Coyotes to keep. So I would like his career to stay intact.
All right, Sporting Nation, we will talk to you again next week. Follow us on Twitter at @Corey_Richie Show, on Instagram, @Corey Richie Show. Follow Corey @Corey Nicole with two E's. Follow the network @HockeyPodNet. Follow me @RFlores91. And DraftKings promo code THPN. Good night and good hockey, everybody.